You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 11, Episode 9 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In this season, we're focusing on lessons from the book of Proverbs. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the excellent wife. Let's get started. When many people read the passage in Proverbs 31 that describes the excellent wife, or as the King James puts it, the virtuous woman, they read this passage and think of the wise man describing the ideal woman who doesn't really exist in reality. But when we think about the world that we live in and the world that the wise man lived in, culture has changed, technology has changed, but the excellent wife today is going to have the same focus as the one described in Proverbs chapter 31. As we're going to look at this passage, we're going to see that she's one who is fearing God, she's one who is supporting her husband, she is serving her family, she is helping others. And while the world today is a lot different than it was then, that is still the focus of a godly woman and what she is to be and what she is to focus on. And this is not some ideal that we think of that, well, that doesn't really exist in reality. We don't need to think of that excellent wife in Proverbs 31 as some ideal that just exists in abstract terms. Women today need to look at her and see how they can imitate her in their lives. And so that's what we're going to talk about here in this episode. We'll begin by going through and reading these verses in Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10 and going through the end of the chapter. And then we'll go back and make a few comments about these verses. But in Proverbs 31:10, "An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand grasps the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates.'" So as we look at what the wise man wrote there in these verses in Proverbs 31, and we think, okay, this is the excellent wife. This is what godly women are to look to. This is what they are to try to imitate. Well, what can we learn from this passage? Well, verse 10, the wise man begins by asking a question: "An excellent wife who can find?" And then says her worth is far above jewels. In asking this question, well, who can find? It does not mean that this excellent wife is someone who can't be found. That, well, no one can find someone like this. Instead, what he's doing is emphasizing the fact that this type of person is rare. And because she is rare, she is worth far above jewels. So because she is valuable, she needs to be treated as though she is this valuable. So an excellent wife, her worth is far above jewels. Verses 11 and 12, the heart of her husband trusts in her, he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. This woman, as the helpmeet that Genesis 2:18 describes, she is seeking to support her husband. Her husband trusts in her. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is supporting her husband rather than ignoring her husband and selfishly pursuing her own ambitions and her own desires. Because of her consistency in this, that her husband can trust her. Her husband recognizes that she is supporting him. She is behind him. And so because he can trust in her, he will prosper. One of her primary focuses is that she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She recognizes her role as a helpmeet, and she recognizes that as that helpmeet, she is to help her husband. And so her husband, as she does this, learns to trust her as she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. In verse 13, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Adam Clark, in his commentary, made the point that when this woman is seeking for wool and flax, there's a difference between that and seeking after ready woven cloth. She's looking for the raw materials that, he made the comment, likely came for her own flocks and fields, which suggests that this excellent wife is willing to work hard rather than take shortcuts when it is prudent to do so. And so she is not only able, but she is also willing to work with her hands. And it says she does this in delight, not grudgingly, but with joy. In verse 14, she is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. The merchant ships, when you think about that illustration, these would be ones who would be engaged in buying and selling and trading. The excellent wife is like them. She is able to obtain food for her household through the goods that she produces, that she is able to bring to the market. We're going to see that in verse 24. But it also says she brings food from afar. That this is showing us that her intentions and her thoughts and what she is doing, what her focus is revolving around what is best for her family, not necessarily what is most convenient for her. And so if she has to go farther to get what is needed for the family rather than finding something closer that's not as good, she's going to do what is best for her family. Verse 15, she rises also while it is night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Now, when we look at this excellent wife, that she has maidens or servants who work for her, we don't need to look at that and just discount all the work that she does and think, well, this doesn't apply to women today. You know, we don't have servants. Look at all that, you know, look at all that they would be able to do, and look at what women today, they don't have these servants. This is not about, when it talks about her having servants, this is not about her, well, now she has all this free time to not work. She is very industrious. She is hardworking, and she is always doing things for her household. And even in this passage, we look at the excellent wife. What is she doing? She's rising while it is still night and sees to it that these maidens and her household have the provisions that they need. And when it says portions to her maidens, that is referring to like the assignments that they have and the things that they need to do. She is making sure that she is managing that household and making sure everything is in order and everything is taken care of, that she is willing to rise while it is still night in order to do this. And so sometimes we think, well, she had maidens, so, you know, women today can't possibly do what she did. No, she had maidens, sure, but what she was doing was she was doing more work because she was providing for them and helping them and managing them in addition to everything else that we read about in this passage. Verse 16 says she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. In verse 11, what we saw was that the wise man said that the woman's husband trusts in her and he will have no lack of gain. This excellent wife, we see her, she's willing to spend money. She considers a field and buys it. But she doesn't spend the money selfishly on her own desires that would be contrary to what her husband's wishes are. Instead, she carefully considers a field and buys it as an investment to contribute to the family. She plants a vineyard from the money she earns through the sale of those products that she makes with her hands, as we're going to see with her earnings in verse 24, as we get there here in just a little bit. In verse 17, it says, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. E.M. Zur's comments as he makes on this verse, he said, quote, the woman puts a belt around her waist, not for show or ornament, but to assist her in her work for the family, end quote. When the wise man says she makes her arms strong, this is so that she will be ready to carry out the various tasks that are necessary for taking care of her household. All of this is revolved around taking care of her household, what she can do for that group, for that charge that she has. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. The excellent wife sees profit in the work that she does. And with this type of positive outlook, she's not negatively looking at these things and thinking that, well, what I'm doing doesn't matter. She senses that her gain is good. She carries out these responsibilities because she has a positive outlook on these things. So she may have to work long hours into the night. Her lamp does not go out at night, to take care of her household, but she's willing to do this because she senses that her gain is good. She recognizes that this is valuable. She recognizes that this is worth something and is not just futile. In verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. This is what, similar to the point we looked at in verse 13, where she looked for wool and flax, she worked with her hands in delight. She is willing to work. She's willing to put in this effort in order to do these things that would be beneficial to her family. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not only concerned with her family. While that may be her primary focus as far as who she is caring for, she's also eager to help those who are less fortunate. And because of the work that she does, in the things that she is involved in, she is in a position to be able to provide aid for them. In verses 21 and 22, it says she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. This excellent wife makes preparations so that her household is well equipped to handle challenging circumstances. She's not afraid of the snow. She's not afraid of the cold in the winter because she is prepared for it. And it specifically mentions that her making clothing for herself. She supplies also clothing for her household, either by making it for herself or by obtaining it through the fruit of her labor. But she makes covering for herself. All of her household is clothed with scarlet. They are protected and they are provided for when the seasons turn and they need this extra clothing. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Attention now is turned to the husband. And this is related to what she is doing. When it talks about him being known in the gates and sitting among the elders of the land, this is an indication that her husband is in a place of honor and respect. And that community and that city where they live, people recognize that he is one, that he is able to be in this position. This is made possible, in part, by having a good helpmeet, an excellent wife, who is able to capably fulfill her responsibilities at home, so he can focus on his responsibilities outside of the home. And so that position that he is in is a reflection of the help that she was giving to him by doing all these things that we've been talking about. Now, verse 24, we've alluded to this a couple times already with the work that she does. In verse 24, it says she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. This woman, it says here that she's more than willing to contribute to her household's income and to help her household in that way. Well, how does she do that? Well, she doesn't do it by leaving the home to find work elsewhere. I know there's a debate sometimes about whether it's right or proper for a woman to work outside of the home. We're not going to get into that debate here. But what we see this woman doing is that she earns income or supplements income for the household, but she doesn't do it by going and finding some career somewhere else. She does it by doing these things, being involved in this work, that is able to be done or is really an extension of the work that she is already doing within her role at home. She's already making garments for herself. She's already providing these things for her family. Well, as she's already working and doing these things, well, she's able to do a little bit more of it and supply belts to the tradesmen, linen garments as she sells those. She is able to do these things as an outgrowth of what she is doing in her work, in her domestic work, in taking care of her household. In verse 25, it says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. This clothing that's mentioned here obviously is figurative. Strength and dignity are her clothing, but it describes her character. And because of her character, her industriousness, her wise stewardship, she is able to look optimistically toward the future. The wise man, a little bit later in this passage, talks about how she fears the Lord. And so we can conclude that this optimism that she has as she smiles at the future is rooted in her faith in God. So she is active, she is busy, she is being a good steward. She is able to look with hope and optimism toward the future. And all this is rooted in faith. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This woman is not only busy working with her hands, taking care of the needs of her household, she is also active in teaching others. The wisdom she teaches is not worldly wisdom, but the wisdom that comes from above. This is what the book of Proverbs is all about. She teaches kindness, which ought to be expected since we see how she is treating others, those of her household, those of her maidens, those who are poor, and how she helps them. Verse 27, it says she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Most of this passage about the excellent wife describes how she focuses on her household. She looks well to the way of her household. This is one of her primary concerns. And there are many responsibilities that come with this. So she looks well to the ways of her household. She is diligent in her labor. The stereotype that some people have of the lazy housewife is nothing like the woman of this passage. She does not eat the bread of idleness. In verses 28 and 29, it says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. As her focus is largely directed toward her household, particularly her husband and children, these are the ones who are rising up to bless her and praise her. Her husband also recognizes that when he compares her with other women, he recognizes she excels them all. She is that rare treasure that's worth far above jewels, as verse 10 talked about at the beginning of this passage. And he recognizes this, as every husband of an excellent wife needs to recognize this as well. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The world values charm and beauty. But for one to appreciate this excellent wife, he needs to understand what is truly important. Charm only deceives one into believing that someone is better than their character would indicate. Physical beauty, in the end, really doesn't amount to much, doesn't mean anything. But this woman is worthy of praise because she fears the Lord. Though her service to God is barely mentioned in this passage, all the work that she does in supporting her husband, serving her family, and helping others indicates that she has a strong desire to serve the Lord and fulfill the responsibilities he has given her in the role of a wife and mother. Verse 31, as this chapter closes, it says, give her the product of her hands, let her works praise her in the gates. The excellent wife is worthy of honor, respect, and gratitude for all the work that she does. And this praise is not private, and it certainly is not to be unspoken. Instead, the praise that she is due ought to be public, as it mentions, in the gates, so that all can recognize her devotion and follow her godly example. So we look at this woman here, and again, we should not look at this and say, well, that's just, you know, the ideal woman that doesn't exist. No, every woman who is striving to follow after God and fulfill the responsibilities that he has given her, she needs to be like this woman. She needs to have the same focus that this excellent wife has. She needs to be of the same character that she is. She needs to follow that example in doing what she did so that she can also be that excellent wife, that virtuous woman as she serves the Lord today.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
This episode was a little bit longer than they normally are, so I appreciate you getting to this point if you're still listening to this episode. If you found this lesson to be helpful, you may want to check out the book, My Son, Hear My Words, Notes on Proverbs. This book is a topical commentary that I wrote on the book of Proverbs, and there's a link in the show notes along with a coupon code to get $5 off the price of the book plus free shipping. Also, I want to let you know that the latest issue of the Plain Bible Teaching Quarterly Review was sent out yesterday to the subscribers of the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This contains articles that were published on the website between August and October. So if you're not on the Plain Bible Teaching email list and would like to receive this, where you have all nine of these articles together in one PDF, you can go to the website plainbibleteaching.com/subscribe and enter your email address, and you'll receive the latest issue of the Plain Bible Teaching Quarterly Review and also a couple other free PDFs as well. Next week, we're going to be talking about what to do when sinners entice you. Until then, I hope you have a great week.